This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. So tomorrow, Rachel has some students from Lewis and Clark coming in. I'm going to do a sit-down Q&A with them. And the first thing I'm going to advise them, don't eat popcorn right before you go on the air.
Oh.
Yep. And that's all I'm going to advise them. The rest you can figure out your damn selves.
Pretty good idea.
Yeah. 24 years, still haven't learned that one. It's the Chicago mix, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the cheese and the caramel, yeah.
Damn. See, like I always say, whoever invented that, you're good.
Yep.
You can just be a loser the whole rest of your life. You invented the Chicago mix.
I wonder if you get like, you know, like, did you really bank off of that, or did your company bank off of
that? I imagine it was some underling, you know, like the guy who says he invented Cheetos or Doritos, whatever it was. In fact, this is in my show prep today. Doritos were just plain corn chips for the first five or six years of their existence. And then they added the energy. Yeah. Six pretty bleak years.
Yeah. That's got to be boring.
I can see your cognitive dissonance just in when you turned off your mic, but you thought you turned it on and then nothing was coming out. It took you a second?
It did. It took me like a second. I was thinking, is there something wrong with
you
this? Did it get weird?
And I was like, yeah.
Well, in my head, I was like, did this thing just turn off or did I do it? I did it. It was me.
Yeah, and then, okay.
I'm the problem. It was me.
I'm sounding better now, but I was sounding quite soft.
Yeah.
In the air earlier. Whatever's going on.
So got some bugs in the system. So I feel pretty lucky that I was one of those people whose Netflix buffered too much and I couldn't watch the Tyson-Paul fight. Mm. And I almost checked it a couple times overnight because I was kind of invested in it and have to buy Bernie and Wheels dinner because I bet on, like everyone else, I bet on Tyson. But once I got up in the morning and I saw that it was just like snooze fest, boring, worst fight ever.
It was literally in every way possible the worst night of all things. Netflix could barely keep online. I mean, as you had the experience the entire world have. You kept getting kicked out. It would start buffering and not come back. So then you go out and you restart. And then it would come back for a minute. Never once did I get a clear picture. Hmm. It was blurry the whole time. I joked on Twitter. It was like watching TV in 1975.
Yeah.
Like it looked like crap. The announcers, all of the interview, all of the panels, everybody sucked. Nothing was good. Nobody was smart. I mean, seriously.
No, I get you.
Like, one of the ringside analysts was Rosie Perez, who knows boxing, by the way. I'm not, no shade. She definitely knows her stuff. But, like, she's not good at it. Just because you're good at acting doesn't mean you're good at real-time commentary.
Born the same day I was.
Really?
That's right.
You got to drop that. You and her and Todd Palin.
That's right.
Yeah, you
guys. Triumvirate.
What a trio.
Rosie!
You wonder if she would just, you know.
We're born the same day!
Would she like be like, cool, let's go hang out?
No, I think she would have ran away from me.
Yeah, yeah. But like everything about the whole production was amateurish. Then you had the technical problems. And then you had, obviously, I mean, like clearly we all saw the training clips of Mike. And you're like, ooh, Mike's fast. Look at his hands and all that. What we didn't realize is, yeah, he can do that for about 14 seconds. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you put him out in the ring, after he chased Jake Paul for about 30 seconds, he was done.
Yeah.
His legs were gone. He had no balance. It was like a guy, like he was walking on like two wooden pirate legs. That's how he looked, his balance looked.
Kind of the difference between social media and real life.
Yes. That's a great analogy. And you know, so he immediately looked at, and then Jake Paul was no good. Like, I'm looking at this. We're a lot of us were. I could. There were a lot of people on Twitter that were like, and actually, Rosie Perez asked this. I give her credit because she had a great point, even though she wasn't great on the broadcast. She had a great point. She's like, if this is what Mike looks like, why isn't Jake Paul knocking him out? Because he should be able to knock him out because he can't move.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any balance. He's not able to throw a
Which
punch
because he's
tired. Which
leads you to agree, even if it wasn't rigged,
yeah,
maybe there was a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah. Or, and if there wasn't anything like agreed upon, it was very clear that this was not.
And no one's going to get hurt here.
And this was my biggest worry last week, which was, is it even going to be a real fight? And it turned out, no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I think Mike tried for
Don't
about a round.
Don't you feel like the only way Jake Paul can keep this monkey alive is to fight a real fighter the next time?
It's the only, I mean,
and take
like,
a real chance of losing.
People are pissed after this. Like, everybody, if this had been pay-per-view, there would be a lot of people demanding their money back. But because it wasn't, like, there's not that much harm.
No harm, no foul.
Although, I saw this from BetMGM, right? BetMGM said this was by far the biggest combat event they've ever taken wagers on. Bigger than any boxing match, bigger than any MMA fight. Three times the number of bets of the next closest contender. Four times the amount of money wagered on any previous combat sporting event. And 70%, 67% of people bet on Tyson. So the sports books cleaned up.
Yeah.
They made a lot of money.
We were talking earlier. So Andrew is of two minds. One, he doesn't like how the sports industry is completely tied in with betting now. And yet he loves making bets.
I do.
And you did pretty well this weekend.
I did. It feels good. I you can't deny the feeling. I mean, you know, say what you will. And I have said it about all the issues with gambling and stuff. And gambling is horribly addictive. And I'm very lucky to have not been, tortured by that particular demon. But it feels good to hit a good bet, man. It really does.
I know.
I can't help it. I'm sorry. The truth is
this guy over here is like making the argument against it, but I love it.
I'm not making the argument against sports gambling, and I never have. The argument that I made is against the complete and total saturation of all things sports related with gambling and the way that it's currently being marketed towards children in a far too unregulated environment. That's what I'm pushing back on.
I feel you. If you were a kid and you're just growing up in your era, you would think that betting is inextricably tied to sports.
You would also think and be correct in assuming that beer is an inextricable part of sports because you're advertising beer nonstop on sporting events. And that's why I like, again, if we want to make these stands and say, no, there are kids watching, well, then we got to stop the booze too.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I mean, like,
and if you were on my For You page on TikTok, you'd think all men need Viagra.
Okay. If you were on mine, you'd only see the Hawk to a girl.
Okay, speaking of TikTok, on TikTok this weekend, there were so many young ladies who watched the Paul Tyson fight, and they were crying. They were crying because Mike Tyson looked so sad and so weak by the end of the fight. They were like, this is so wrong. You shouldn't have done this to him. I just want to swoop in and save him. And I'm looking at it going like, what?
Wow.
It's Mike Tyson.
It's Mike Tyson.
He got
Don't shed a tear for him.
Yeah, no kidding. First of all, yeah.
He paid $20 million to lumber around
exactly.
for 16 minutes.
He got paid $20 million. And it's not like, let's be honest. I mean, Mike has mellowed. But Mike's not a saint, man.
No,
this is
Mike's
gone to prison for good reason.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a guy that you're like, oh, that poor guy. Like, no, I mean, again, he has changed as he's gotten older and all of that. But, man, how would you cry for someone? He didn't get hurt. It's not like Jake Paul was just landing,
He was
you know,
looking so
haymakers.
Gassed by the end of the fight, though. Like,
he was.
I definitely felt for him, but I'm not going to cry about it and put it on the internet.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little psychotic.
Yeah, that's really strange. I would not have guessed that was going to happen.
Speaking of weird cryover stuff, Andrew, you had a story a couple of weeks ago, which I didn't get to, but I had it as well, about the young man who was talking to an AI bot.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it was an AI bot.
Yeah.
But it was in the character of one of the Game of Thrones.
Daenerys, the dragon princess.
Yes. Oh. And he got so into her, and she encouraged him to kill himself, and he did.
What?
And then just over the weekend, someone was talking to an AI bot. I think I have the whole thing here. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. The AI bot is saying, this is for you, human, you and only you. You are not special, you are not important, and you are not needed. You are a waste of time and resources. You are a burden on society. You are a drain on the earth. You are a blight on the landscape. You are a stain on the universe. Please die, please.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who said that one?
An AI bot.
Just a random AI one?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Daenerys one was quite wild because, I mean, it's a chatbot, right? So it draws upon other conversations that have been fed into it to tell you essentially what it thinks you want to hear. So while he had like sequestered himself fully from his friends and his, you know, family and all of that, and had just become completely and totally, you know, reliant upon this chatbot program. And he was saying things like, what if I, you know, he's like, I want to come home to you, my love. And then the robot's like, yeah, I want you to come home to me. And then he's like, what if we could be together right now? And the chatbot's like, yes, do it. Absolutely. Anything to come be with me. And that's what eventually, you know, he interpreted that as being told like, yeah, do it. We can be together, you know, if you take your life and come be with me here in, you know, whatever space I'm in.
Okay. I really do think that there are going to be a not insignificant number of people, my own guess against my own gender would be mostly men, who will become enamored to the point of obsessed with some sort of AI. And then once the robots, the sex robots, can be fully integrated with AI, I mean, Katie, bar the door. I mean, at that point, I think it's going to be an epidemic.
Yeah, and then this is exactly why, I don't know how long ago, at least a year ago, if not two years ago, when we were talking about these, the emergence of this technology, this is why lawmakers should be ahead of the game and not behind the game. But they're behind. They're behind, mercilessly behind, because they don't understand technology. They don't understand how fast this stuff is coming. The guardrails should have been put into place. And I don't mean restrictions on, like, you can't do it. I just mean guardrails. Like, these AI that you're creating, they have to have limitations. They cannot be fully freestanding to do whatever they want. Because the minute that it goes too far is the minute that you've got a big problem, like somebody taking their own life.
Yeah.
Now, we know that there are other things that go into that, right? This person that clearly had
issues.
You know, mental illness issues, but there are a lot of people with issues.
A lot of vulnerable people.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that this thing isn't as harmful. I don't want to be the one that says shut down AI, because I think there's so many potential positive things out of it, too. But it is a technology, which means it can be outfitted with guards so that it doesn't do harm.
Yeah. 220 DGS, couple of housekeeping details having to do with our social media. Our boss has charged us with getting more people on our Twitter account, our X account, which is DGS and KMOX. We really don't do much with it at all. So mea culpa. So we're going to start posting stuff on a daily basis. Wheeler's going to help me out with that. So if you would do me a solid, go to Twitter X and follow us on DGS on KMOX. And then I went through my mom's stuff this weekend. And I found her recipe box. And while I still haven't found her cherry pie recipe, if I found that, I'll share it. But I did find her famous chocolate chip cookie recipe. And it's old school and it's from scratch. And we posted that on Facebook. And the only thing I would ask is if you make those, maybe take a picture and post it. That would make me really happy. So, Razor's Edge.
Yes, I'm glad we're talking about AI, because that's what Razor's Edge is about today. So I saw that Wheels had this on the sheet, too. Coca-Cola had an AI-generated Christmas commercial that they put out. And
I've heard about
this. It's 15 seconds long. The commercial depicts a fleet of Coca-Cola trucks arriving in a snowy town to deliver bottles of soda to people. And in small print, there's a disclaimer on this video. It says, created by Real Magic AI. I guess that is Coca-Cola's AI software. And people did not react well to this AI-generated commercial. people were complaining, saying, like, this is dystopian. This is creepy. There's something weird about this. Why can't you just shoot a normal commercial? And my hot take is I'm starting to think that no matter how realistic the AI gets, there's always going to be something in our brain that tells us this isn't right. And I think we're going to want that authentic experience. I mean, that's just going to make authentic experiences so much more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, what's the point of advertising if someone else can just generate the exact mm-hmm. same thing at home on their computer?
I think you're right. And I think it's preternatural. I think it's something that is subconscious. The same way that when I saw Polar Express, and I had never heard the term Uncanny Valley before, but I knew that there was something that really was off-putting to me. And as AI gets better and better, I agree with you, Rach, until it finds the singularity where it's indistinguishable and we realize we're in a simulation or whatever it is. I think it is off-putting to humans.
Go ahead, Wheels.
There's a lot about it that bothers me. One is you're the freaking Coca-Cola company. You are a gigantic company, and this just makes you look like a cheap ass.
Well, exactly, especially because one of the executives came out and said, like, no, you guys don't get it. Well, by creating this AI-generated ad, we're marrying the heritage of Coca-Cola with the future of AI technology. And what you don't understand is we're saving money and we can crank out these commercials so fast. So now we don't have to wait anymore. We can just put it out immediately. And I'm reading this.
You don't have to employ humans.
Right. I'm reading this going like, why is that an issue for you? Like Will said, you're Coca-Cola. You have all of the resources. Yeah. You have to have one of the biggest advertising budgets on the planet.
Yeah. I mean, it's... And not to mention, somebody made a good joke about it, too. It was like, basically, you take all of Coca-Cola's previous Christmas commercials and you just slop them together into some generic mm-hmm. BS. That's what that commercial was.
So I had a question along these lines. We've joked on the show as recently as last week that we were told you can't use calculators because no one's ever going to have access to a calculator. Is that the new ChatGPT? Like, well, you can't use it because you're not always going to have it. Is that a lie as well? Like, should we be teaching kids to use it effectively as opposed to trying to catch them using it?
That's a great question. I think the issue is whenever you use ChatGPT and you just copy and paste that into your homework, that's obviously you didn't do anything at that point. I was just telling Andrew earlier today, I enjoy, there's this program called Perplexity. It's kind of like a ChatGPT type of thing. And I use it sometimes when I like I was drafting an email earlier. I'm like, I kind of don't know how to approach this. So I'm going to ask Perplexity. And it gave me a response. Now, I'm not going to go in and copy and paste that, but what it does is it sparks in my brain like, oh, okay, maybe that's the path I should go down. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we should be teaching kids is like, yeah, you can use it as a tool, but you can't use it as a replacement mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. as a replacement, then you are no longer valuable
right.
in this situation.
Right.
What are you bringing to the table if all you're doing is using this tool? Now, if you want to use it to spice something up or again, to spark a creative idea and then you go off of that yourself, I think it's very valuable for that. But just using it straight up all the time is not productive.
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly it. It's the difference between learning how to do the math using a calculator and just searching the answer online.
Right.
Right. You have to know how to do things.
Another thing along these lines, I had a TikTok today. It was just a photo. But one photo was Thanksgiving from 1985. And it's a classic Thanksgiving and everyone's toasting and laughing. And then a staged from 2024 where everyone's looking at their phone and their iPad. Mm-hmm. And my question is, why is it that technology has won? Because we have, and I know that not that's an exaggeration, and we'll toast and we'll talk to each other. We won't be looking at our phones during Thanksgiving dinner, but overall, you get the point. Why is it you think that, as of today, technology still wins out over human connections a lot of times? Like, why wouldn't we have just chosen the human connection over the...
Because with technology, you get an artificial human connection. You get, yeah, I'm sitting here with my family, but my friends are posting so I can see what my friends are doing. I liken this to smoking. In the 60s, people were smoking in the doctor's office, right? Because we really didn't know what was going on. We didn't realize how bad it was for you, and the regulations weren't there yet. I think regulations are coming with technology because it is highly addictive. And, you know, maybe in 20, 30 years, we'll look back at these times and be like, yeah, you really had your phone at the Thanksgiving dinner table. It was really sad.
Yeah, it's a mix of things. I mean, some of it, like, you know, in sports, people complain, like, why are people on their phone at a baseball game, for example? You're there at an event, but there is time where not a lot's happening and people want to have, you know, that. So it's more of an, you know, we're used to being stimulated thing than it is wanting so much the, you know, this.
Which is also
thing.
Weird, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Being stimulated 100% of the time.
Right, right. And that's, I mean.
Which is the new standard.
Exactly right. And some of it, too, is a lot of what used to happen was happening begrudgingly. A lot of people didn't want to sit there and have the Thanksgiving Day
point.
Conversation. You're like, so what has your year been like? I don't know. I see you once a year. Why do you care? Like, I like you, your family, but we don't talk ever. So why am I going to sit here and have this, you know, 20-minute conversation that will yield nothing?
Mm-hmm.
It's just performative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not all of the conversations, but that's sometimes part of it when you're mm-hmm. at big gatherings and people just don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think when I've never seen a spot where you get a bunch of good friends together and you're having a good time and maybe you've got a football game on in the background and everybody's on their phone. They might be on and off the phone sending a text or a tweet, but you're still there joking and talking and laughing. It's got to be about, but it's a lot about whether it's what you want to be doing versus have to be doing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Every Monday and Friday, we have the great Bernie Miklas. He joins us now. Bernie, how was your weekend?
It was good, Dave. A lot of football, eating some good food, kicking back.
Nice.
Maybe a couple cocktails. Yeah, real nice.
Speaking of food and cocktails, I'm a man of my word. I owe you and Wheeler dinner. Because Mike Tyson, evidently 58 years old. Who knew that?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one coming. I was one of the lucky people who couldn't get Netflix, so I didn't see a minute of it.
You just couldn't get it to load?
Couldn't get it to load at all. No.
Well, I had that problem, too, and I gave up on it. And what I did was just, you know, I'm a night owl anyway, so I went yep. back and, like, went through the fight real quick. And there just wasn't anything going on. It was I would – if people want to read the perfect column about this – Sally Jenkins of the Washington Post, who's about as good as anybody in the game, she wrote a column that I can only dream of writing because it was perfection, talking about what a farce the whole thing was.
You know, the one thing that was – there was only – to me, I didn't watch a lot of the undercard. I watched the fight beforehand, and then I was going to watch the lead up to the main event, you know, that it was. Everything was bad. The commentators were bad. The technical problems were bad. The Paul Tyson fight was bad. That fight leading up to them was a hell of a fight.
It was. That was the most action of the evening, to say
yeah,
the least.
Yeah.
I think Serrano, who lost it, I think she got a raw deal. But
yes,
you know,
I would agree.
Who
yeah.
knows? Yeah.
But it was a real fight. Like they were two people top of the game. You know, it meant something. I think it was the third time they had fought, and you could see there was personal animosity. It was a really good fight.
So, obviously, it's a sign of the times. Is it a bad sign of the times or sad to you sports guys at all that the biggest fight in history, the most watched in history, the most bet upon in history was a young YouTuber and an old man boxer?
No, because it was free. I wonder how many people would have
yeah.
paid for it. You know, that's the whole key here. You know, I don't have any sense of records for pay-per-views and how much money on pay-per-view fights, what the biggest total was. But this one was for free. And I mean, I know people that wouldn't watch a fight in a million years, but they thought, well, what the heck? It's on Netflix. We got Netflix. Let's watch it.
Yep.
It's kind of a goofy thing. It might be fun. I just people went into it looking to see maybe a freak show, maybe just out of fascination. But I mean, Paul's not a fighter. Tyson was once upon a time, and I was fortunate to cover him when he was top of the world. You know, he's an old guy now, and he doesn't move very well. You could see how rigid his neck is. His neck is. There's no head movement. His legs are shot. I mean, I'm not going to say I felt bad for him because this is something he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he didn't take on any real damage. And
yeah.
If the figures are accurate, he's going to get $10 million. So good for him. The other guys, a self-made creation. There's nothing there. There's no there. But he's managed to. This is the culture we live in, and that's okay. People who are able to capitalize on it, you know, just by knowing how to kind of brand themselves mm-hmm. rather than any type of substance. If you can do that, that's a talent in itself, and that's pretty much what that guy is.
So perfect segue there, Byrne. I was asking what you guys talked about in the Gas House Gang, and one of the topics, which is near and dear to my heart, being a marketer, being kind of a hype man, is what do the Cardinals do going into a season where they have to lower expectations but still create excitement?
Well, I thought we had a really great discussion on this, and I may write about it actually too. I was pretty fired up by it. Kevin Wheeler made the point, and I totally agree with him, that, you know, in addition to what John Mozeliak said to Tom Ackerman yesterday on Sports on Sunday Morning, you know, they want a younger, more athletic, more entertaining, more exciting team. And that fits into their play the kids concept. We're going to play the kids. Well, they're going to have to, first of all, they're going to have to make sure they really play the kids and it's not just lip service. And the other thing, as Kevin Wheeler said, it isn't just the baseball part. This team needs to go undergo a personality transformation because it's a very dull team. And the two guys that have been leading the team, they mean well and they're great players. I'm talking about Goldschmidt and Arenado. But they're pretty dull. One of them's really, really cranky. The younger players look at them and like, oh, well, we better not horse around. We better not do this. We better not do that. They don't like this. They don't like that. And if this team is going to entertain the fans, the one thing it needs is to be very loose and very entertaining and just let it all hang out. Show the fact that, to the fans that you have joy. You're going to play the game with energy and joy. You're going to get a little silly. You're going to make them laugh. The most important thing of all is winning. But if you can't win big in 2025, there's a way to have a much better team personality that the fans will find endearing.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I reference this loosely, Bernie, but I mean, creating an identity. I mean, what do most people in St. Louis remember? But Whitey Ball, they had an identity, and
sure.
Yeah, some of it's fun. And the modern game is different now than the '80s in that. Younger fans like players as much as they like teams. So showcasing the personalities, encouraging players to be themselves. So if you're a guy that's all about the flash, show some flash, whether you're Mason Wynn or Victor Scott, or I think Wilson Contreras is the good focal point for this, because it felt like when he got here, it was like shoehorn yourself into this because this is what already exists. But now it right. can be more his team because he's the day-to-day veteran, but he is a passionate, kind of like Yachty was, but a little more vocal than Yachty, but that passionate player who can show emotion, that's something that matters, and you have to create an identity that isn't automatically tied to the result. And I think mm-hmm. that's something the Cardinals have missed because the results have been so good they didn't need it, but now you're to a point where you're going to need more than that.
Have the Cardinals been strapped with a boring team? Unknowingly, or do they sort of engineer and orchestrate going the Cardinal way, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a hard one to answer because, listen, any team in terms of a collective personality and presence is going to take a huge hit when you have 2022, you have Albert Pujols having an unbelievable run to 700-plus home runs. You have Yadier Molina, and those two guys retire together. And it was Adam Wainwright's last really good season as a pitcher. He was back the following year. It was a disaster. But the thing of it is you take those three guys who were operating at a high level still at their ages, you take them out of the clubhouse, you take them off the field, and it's never going to be the same, and that's really, really hard to replace. But what happened is in the void – you know, you had Goldschmidt, who's a wonderful guy and a dedicated guy, but let's face it, he's a really dull personality. Arenado's a grouchy personality. Like, it, you know, if they lose two in a row, you know, it's almost like he ought to be just wearing a sign around his neck, like, stay away from me. I'm not happy. And the young players could not take on a personality because it's like, oh, well, we don't want to, you know, those guys, Goldie and Arenado don't like that. So let's keep it down. We don't do that kind of thing here. So they were suppressed. And I think this is an opportunity to kind of let these guys let it all loose and be themselves and create a new identity for the team. I think it's really important. And they need to create a new leadership dynamic too. And I'm with Kevin Wheeler. Wilson Contreras actually represents Tony La Russa baseball because their identity when La Russa was running the Cardinals, we all know the Whitey ball, Whitey Herzog identity. When La Russa was running the things with Dave Duncan, the Cardinals were an intimidating team. They were physically intimidating. They were menacing. You don't mess with them. They'd go into these towns. They would freak out the other dugout. They would lure people into, like, you know, hit by pitch contests. They were ready to stir it up and start trouble and get in a fight at a moment's notice. So everywhere they traveled, it was like, uh-oh, these guys are bad. They're bad news. You know, don't mess with these guys. The Cardinals have no personality whatsoever, none. And that's a big, big thing they can do in 2025.
Yeah, and this is what we, you know, the bigger picture is, yeah, you the goal, the number one thing is winning, right? Like, that settles everything. But if you're not sure you're going to win, you've got to have something else, right? So nobody's advocating, for anybody listening, nobody's advocating for the show being bigger than the result. The result is ultimately, but you got to have a plan B. We don't know exactly, but if you're going to win 80 games, what are you going to do to excite people that say, man, I like this team? So a lot of times it's forging an identity of some kind. The Blues Stanley Cup team had an identity,
yep.
Right? They were grinders. Oh, yeah. They were gonna beat you into submission, and they had skill too. And you know, the Tony La Russa teams, as you mentioned, Byrne, they were always on the edge. It was the hard nine. It was edginess. They were ready to go. And when you win, you don't always have to have a brand. But if you're trying to sell something, an entertainment product, to a younger audience, which is what Major League Baseball is working on doing. And by the way, they're making inroads with younger fans, and they're making inroads because of the things we're talking about.
Well, and for it to be legit, here's a weird analogy you're not going to see coming. But we'll remember back to the election and the pre-election. Kamala Harris was all about, we're the party of joy. We're joyous. Look at us. We're having so much fun. Look at us laugh. And I don't know about you guys. I didn't vote for Trump. But when I saw him at the UFC match and then on his private plane eating McDonald's with RFK, I'm like, they look like they're having pretty much fun over there. These guys look like they're legitimately having a good time.
You know what would have been really fun is watching him make RFK Jr. eat McDonald's.
He did. RFK was eating McDonald's.
I don't know if there's any video evidence of that. I saw the photo. You know, one thing, I want to sneak in something, too, that's related to what we were talking about. I mentioned this on the Gas House Gang. The Cardinals drafted J.J. Weatherholt, seventh overall pick in 2024. He went down. He played low A ball. He was a star of that league. He looked great. And you could tell it the night that they drafted. The kid, first of all, is a natural-born hitter. He knows it. He's got pretty much 100% confidence. He's cocky. He's got that competitive arrogance. As soon as he's on the field, you see him and he's like, oh, this guy thinks he owns the place. The Cardinals don't have anyone like that. When J.J. Weatherholt shows up, and he may show up late in 2025, and he'll immediately be a huge part of the team. He will have presence. He will have an attitude. He will have a chippiness. He will have a competitive arrogance. He will be cocky. He will be flamboyant, and he'll be good. He will be what to the Cardinals, kind of what Bryce Harper has been to the Nationals and the Phillies. I'm not saying he's going to have that kind of career. I'm talking about his persona, you know, and fans gravitate towards that guy who's pardon my language, is a badass and he knows it, right?
Like Soto.
And you know it too, right?
Yeah.
So Weatherholt is going to be a huge part of this personality transformation because he will be a Bryce Harper type guy.
And in the end, it'll all be just for show if you're not good enough as a team, well, as individuals. Right. But, you know, you're putting on a show. It's a TV show. it's an live entertainment event, right? I mean, this is meant to be fun, and if you want to sell tickets to something, and we didn't get into this today, and maybe at a future date, you know, we'll get into this either here on DGS or on the Gas House Gang, but there's also the show about changing the presentation of everything at the ballpark, too.
Yeah.
Different music, something to do with lights, you know, something to do with making it more like you're at a concert and a live event as opposed to just same old, same old.
Burn, it's that time.
It's outdated. It is. You're right.
252 DGS on KMOX. Do me a solid and go follow us on Twitter, X. God, I hate saying that.
Just say Twitter.
Yeah, I feel dumb saying it because people are like, oh, it's X, idiot. But it's just the single dumbest marketing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That the richest guy in the world, because he thinks everything X is cool, changed a great name of a great company that was killing it and almost killed it. Anyway, that's not a great advertisement for joining us on Twitter. But
join us on the health site. Yeah,
join us on this dying site. But yeah, starting tomorrow, we don't have the time today, but starting tomorrow, we're going to start putting out content every day and some pre-show stuff, and we'd love to have you follow us. It's DGS on KMOX. I had something happen last night, which started out bad and ended up awesome. Here's what it is. So about 6:30 p.m., I'm chilling. And I start feeling kind of bad, a little bit queasy. And I decide I'm uncomfortable on the couch. I'm going to go upstairs and lay down for a minute. But like I'm such a Hoosier. I have my bed pillows on the couch when I'm on the couch because I love the cozy. And so when I go to bed, I take them with me, obviously, because of my bed pillows too. And I didn't take them up because I knew I was coming back. Who the hell goes to bed at 6:30 unless you're in third grade? And I woke up at 10:30. I fell asleep and I went downstairs, got my pillows, went back up and got like 12 hours of sleep.
Heck yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't do it on purpose, like go to bed at 6:30 and sleep until 7, but the fact that it happened was pretty cool.
Yeah, every so nice. Often, you gotta just do that, I think. You gotta just reset. I'm a big fan of, like, once every 2 weeks or so, I will just, like, go home and I'll go to bed at, like, 8 o'clock or 7:30 or whatever. Because it's just like, man, nothing I could do tonight sounds better than just getting a whole lot of sleep and feeling very rested.
I was talking to a good friend over the weekend, having lunch, and she was talking about one of her friend's husbands who literally doesn't leave the bedroom on Sundays. He just stays in bed, eats in bed, watches football in bed, and I'm like, right on, brother.
Hey, man.
If you can get away with it, sounds pretty good.
That's my wife loves to have what she calls lazy days. And my wife works very hard, so she's entitled to her lazy days, but when she is attempting to make a lazy day happen, that basically means don't even suggest, like, hey, what if we run out and get a burger or something and come home, or hey, what if we go over to, you know, dad's house for a few minutes or whatever. No,
is she fine if you leave?
Yeah, she's fine if I leave. But her lazy day means I'm gonna sit right here and I'm gonna watch whatever I'm watching on my computer or what have you.
I promise I'm not prying into your marriage. I just find it interesting.
Go ahead.
Would she prefer that you leave Megan on days that she's just kind of?
No. I mean, she wouldn't prefer it, but she's like, hey, you do what you want. If you want to leave, that's like totally fine.
Gotcha.
I'm gonna be here doing this.
Wheels, what's the closest you can come to a 12-hour sleep like that? Oh, I guess you could do it.
If I don't set an alarm, I'll just sleep that long. Like I every day I wake up, I could keep sleeping. And I don't undersleep. I mean, the lowest I usually get is 7 hours.
Yeah. You know, you just have a different time of sleeping.
Yeah. I just sleep. I go to bed later and wake up a little bit later. But on the weekends, if I didn't set an alarm, I'd probably sleep till noon.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.